Please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33, and in a minute we'll begin reading. I'd like to take this time to welcome any of those of you that are visiting with us. We're glad that you took the time to come and be with us. We want you to know that you're especially welcome if you're not a member of the Lord's Church. In a few minutes, we're going to stand and sing another song. And if you need to render obedience, our prayer and our hope is that you will do so at that time. You know, Satan doesn't want you to do that tonight. He wants you to wait till tomorrow or next week or next year. But today's the time that you need to do that. And it's going to be a serious time when we stand to sing, because you're either going to say, "Yes, God, I want to spend eternity with you in heaven," or you're going to say, "No, thank you, God, I'm willing to spend an eternity in hell." So please consider that seriously as we go through the lesson tonight. In Exodus chapter 33, we'll begin reading at verse 17. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name.' Then Moses said, 'I pray thee, show me thy glory.' And he said, 'I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen.'" This says that no one has ever looked on the face of God. Well, tonight we're going to look at some snapshots of God. No, we don't know physically what God looked like, but he did leave us a lot of information about his character, about his nature, about his makeup. And I believe that this is foundational to us as Christians, because how can we worship God if we don't know who or what God is? In the Old Testament, God held a special place of respect in people's lives. He was so respected that no one would even dare utter the name Jehovah or Yahweh. The Hebrews did, however, coin nicknames for God. And each one of these names gives us a slightly different picture or a snapshot of him. Tonight, we're going to look at eight of these snapshots. We're going to look at eight of these Hebrew names for God. I'm not going to try to pronounce them correctly, but I do believe by the time we go through this that you'll be able to understand them. I think it's going to be pretty easy. And I'm so confident that I would go as far to say that if you have the ability to remember the 23rd Psalm, that you'll have the ability to remember these eight snapshots of God. You know, that's the way our mind works. We think in pictures and in word pictures. And, you know, Mike, I don't know much about computers, but I was told that when Windows came out from DOS, it wasn't so that we could understand better how computers think, but so computers could better understand how we think, because we think in those pictures. So tonight we're going to look at eight of these snapshots. First, let's turn to Psalms 23, and we'll look at that. Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The first term here, Jehovah Rohi, means shepherd. This is one of the names that was given to Jehovah. And it's easy to see why David chose that name. David had been a shepherd. He had cared for the flocks of his father. When he was called to be king of Israel, he was out watching over the flocks. As David thought about how he cared for his sheep, how he protected his sheep, how he saved them from those that would destroy him, he also understood how God is the one that shepherds you and me. What a beautiful picture of our Heavenly Father, Jehovah, or God, the shepherd of our lives. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 22, and we'll look at another snapshot here. In Genesis 22, God told Abraham to take his only son Isaac to a mountain and sacrifice to the Lord. And that must have been a real struggle for Abraham, not only because he loved his son so dearly, but because God had promised that through Isaac, all the other promises would be fulfilled. Let's read in Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 12. And he said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it will be provided." So we have another picture here, Jehovah Provider. Jehovah provides. And as you go through reading some of these, you may see in your center column where some of these Hebrew words are put in for the description. But what a reassuring picture of our Heavenly Father. Do you ever feel like you're faced with a situation where you don't know what to do? I know none of us have ever been in the situation where Abraham was in, where we were faced with offering up our only child. But we can be confident that the God that provided for Abraham is the same God that will provide for us. What a reassuring picture we have of God. One of the other names for Jehovah, Jehovah Shalom, which means peace. One thing that comes to mind with this is Gideon. And have you ever felt so distraught or disturbed that you were consumed by something all day long, you couldn't get it out of your mind? Maybe it was pressure on the job, pressure at school, pressure at home, maybe even pressure at church. You just could not feel at peace because something was churning inside of you. But remember the story of Gideon in Judges 6 and 7? The Midianites were oppressing the Israelites and ruining their crops. Gideon was just a common man. And when an angel appeared to him, he was hiding behind a wine press threshing grain. Times were terrible and Gideon was afraid. But Gideon sorted through all of the agony and all of the time in which he lived, and all the pressure, and he trusted on God, the God of peace, and he came to terms with that. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. And we see what Gideon was able to do when he came to terms with God our peace. And that's a very relaxing picture that we have of our Heavenly Father, the peace that he can provide for us. We turn to Exodus 15. We'll see another name for Jehovah. In Exodus 15, the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness. They were thirsty. They came to a place called Marah. But there they found bitter water. They complained to Moses, and Moses cried out to God. In verse 25 of Exodus 15, "Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, 'If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer.'" Here we have another picture of Jehovah. He is our healer. again, what a wonderful picture, for I am the Lord who heals you. Our Heavenly Father is our doctor. He is the one who heals us, he restores us, he energizes us. You know, it's something that all of us should really appreciate. You know, when we are sick and we are healed, it's something to rejoice in. We're made new again. Or like if we think about being restored, like you might take an old car that has changed its condition, you restore it to its original condition. That is what Jehovah can do for us when our life is marred by sin. This is another one of the nicknames that the Hebrews gave to Jehovah. Jehovah Rophi, Jehovah the Healer. Next, we come to righteousness. Jehovah righteousness. At a time when there was no righteousness in Israel, when the nation was in captivity, and there was sin and degradation everywhere, God came to Jeremiah. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. In Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning at verse 1, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who are tending my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Then I myself shall gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and shall bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I shall also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah, but I will be your righteousness." What God is saying to Jeremiah in this is there is only one in the world who is righteous. He is absolutely righteous. He is unfailing. He is holy. There's no flaw in God's character. And this is a picture of leadership and direction that we have of God, that direction, that leadership that he leads us into righteousness. Another one I'd like for us to look at is called "Is There." It's a little bit different. But if we turn over to Ezekiel chapter 48, we'll find out how that name came about. This was during a time when Israel was in decline. God allowed Ezekiel to witness himself systematically withdrawing from the lives of the people. Ezekiel was on a mountain, and he watched the glory of God move from the center of the temple to the threshold to the east gate. Then he watched the glory of God move out of the city and finally up into the mountains. Ezekiel watched God's glory move little by little until it was totally absent and there was no presence of God at all. God said to Ezekiel, "I want to tell you about a time that's coming." And he told him of a new time, a new place, and a new temple where the glory of God would never depart. In Ezekiel 48 and verse 35, "The city shall be 18,000 cubits round about, and the name of the city from that day shall be, The Lord is There." Here we have a picture of where God's presence is always there. It's always there for us. It's not somewhere else. It's not going to depart. But God, Jehovah, is there. Let's turn back to Exodus chapter 17 for another snapshot. In Exodus chapter 17, Moses had led his people to a place called Rephidim. And while there, they discovered a new problem in the wilderness. A new enemy, the Amalekites. The Israelites had been in captivity for about 430 years in Egypt, and they didn't know a thing about fighting a war. Moses was too old to fight, and he went up on a mountain where he could get a good picture of Joshua fighting with the Israelites and how the battle was going on. Moses had in his hand the rod of God. As he lifted up his hands, as if in an act of worship to God, the Israelites would win. Every time he got tired, he put his hands down, the Amalekites would win. Let's read in Exodus chapter 17, beginning at verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." And Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial, and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out of memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." Here we have another snapshot. Jehovah is a banner. A banner at that time was like an insignia. It was often a staff or a pole. It was a symbol of some victory. Moses' rod became that banner. When Moses' rod was held up, it was a signal that God is in charge. And Moses was so taken by this particular aspect of God in his life, God in the midst of his battle, God giving him victory, that Moses gave him this Hebrew name, which means Jehovah is our banner. Let's turn on over to Leviticus chapter 20 now. And we'll look at the last snapshot. And this is a snapshot of our Father, the Sanctifier. The book of Leviticus is about the ceremonies of Old Testament worship. It's about cleansing. It's about bringing the right sacrifices of God under the Old Testament economy of worship. And then Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 and 8, it says, "You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies." Here we see another snapshot, another picture of Jehovah God. He is the one who sanctifies. When Israel was learning how to be holy before God, they gave him this name. Our Heavenly Father is the one that separates us. He sets us apart from the world. He cleanses us so that we will be fit for His service. Now, we've gone over these 8 points rather quickly, but I believe that the Bible was written in such a way that it's easy to be understood and remembered, and I believe it was meant to be remembered. Many of the Psalms especially are easy to remember. You know, some of them even have music added to them, just like the one that we sang a little bit ago, Psalms 23. I have another sermon that I've preached titled 22 Benefits from the Word of God, taken from Psalms 119. And if you remember that psalm, each stanza begins with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Each stanza contains 8 verses, and each stanza contains a reference to and a benefit of the Word of God. This made it very easy for the people to memorize sections of God's Word and to commit it to their memory and to their heart. The Bible was meant to be learned. Now, like I said, I think that we can understand these rather easily, and I feel confident that if we do, you know, a year from now, we may not remember these Hebrew names, but we're going to remember these 8 snapshots of God. Does anybody feel they can at this point? You know, will you remember them tomorrow, next week? Well, let's let's go back to Psalms 23 and take a look at that again real quick.
Psalms chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay, we've got shepherd up here. I shall not want. Uh-oh. That sounds like Jehovah provider. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. You know? That's a snapshot of peace. He restores my soul. That's Jehovah Healer. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. That's Jehovah the Righteous. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jehovah is there. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jehovah banner. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Jehovah sanctifies. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
You know, what a song. You know, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when David wrote this psalm, he included a reference to each one of these Hebrew names for God in that psalm. Jehovah Shepherd, Jehovah Provides, Jehovah Peace, Jehovah Healer, Jehovah Righteousness, Jehovah Is There, Jehovah Banner, Jehovah Sanctifies. It's amazing at the depth and the simplicity of the Bible contains. But you know, this still is just the beginning of a picture of Jehovah. You know, and even something else that's amazing, you know, Jehovah is my shepherd. He's your shepherd. Jehovah provides for me. He can bring me peace. He is my healer. He is my righteousness to guide me into righteousness. He is always there for me. He is a banner over me in the midst of a battle. And Jehovah can sanctify me and set me apart for his service. You know, like I say, it's just the beginning of snapshots of God. There is so much that we could talk about on each one of these, how Jehovah is the shepherd, how he does everything for us, guides us, leads us, protects us, defends us from the enemy. Jehovah Jireh, how he provides for us. Everything that we have comes from God. He's provided everything for us. And everything that pertains to life and godliness, too. It all comes from Jehovah. Jehovah Peace. Where else can we find peace but through God? Jehovah Healer. You know, we are sick with sins, yet God healed us of those sins. He's made us new again. He's restored us to our original condition. Jehovah the Righteous. How are we going to know where righteousness is if we don't follow and let him lead us into righteousness? Jehovah is there. You know, what a reassuring picture of God, that he is always there with us. Jehovah is our banner. He gives us that victory in the battle. When we hold him up, he will help us to conquer. Jehovah is the one that sanctifies. He's the one that sets us apart from the world so that we can be fit for his service. I hope this has given you a new appreciation for Psalms 23, and we've also maybe learned how the Hebrews, you know, had some insight into Jehovah. And maybe when you see some of these words again, different places, Jehovah Jireh or Shalom or some of the others, you might have a little more of a background on where they came from. But like I say, this is just the beginning, because God is somebody that we could talk about for hours, but this is just a quick snapshot. We open the lesson in Exodus 33, which said that no one has ever looked on the face of God. We sing a song, Saved by Grace, that someday we are going to see him face to face. And if we turn over to 1 Corinthians 13, and 12, it says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I have also been fully known." One day we will stand before God face to face, and we will see him. Are you prepared to meet God? If you're a child of his, that will be one of the most exciting times that we will ever experience. But if we are not a child of his, that's going to be one of the most awful things that we have ever experienced, to stand before God and to see him face to face, and then to hear him say, "Depart from me." You know, one of the other things about Jehovah peace, in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Do you have that peace of God tonight, which surpasses all comprehension? That peace of God from the God of peace, he's offering it to you tonight. If you're outside of the fold of safety, you can't be at peace with God. You're his enemy because you're a sinner. As I said earlier, it's a serious thing when we stop to think that someday we're going to stand before God and see him face to face, especially if we haven't rendered obedience to him. If there's any way that we can assist you in doing that tonight, if you need to repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of them, rise to walk in newness of life, or if you've done that, but you've wandered away from that standard that you know and you need to make correction in your life, we pray that you would come forward and make your request known as we stand and sing.